Our reading this morning is Psalm 27. You can find it in the Pew Bibles on page 557, and of course the words are on the screen as well. Psalm 27, a psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord, be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. And wait for the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Shall we pray? Lord God, we thank you for your wonderful word and the help it gives to us. Help us to receive from you this morning as we look at it. Amen. If you don't know me, my name's Rosemary. I'm a member of this church for a long time. Well, are you ever at a loss for words? I know people who can be very talkative, but very silent when it comes to prayer. It's hard sometimes to find the words to pray. And the Psalms are great. Just reading a psalm can be our time of prayer. And even the nasty bits in the Psalms where the psalmist is wanting revenge on his enemies, I think we can claim the power of God to act for those who are in hostile lands, in dangerous situations, and use those sort of words for that situation. Well, Psalm 27 is one of my favourites. It's a close second to Psalm 25. I like the way it begins on such a positive note. It's strong. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? It's a declaration of faith. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? It's good to speak positive words of faith, even when we don't feel like it. Then we remember that these things are true. When we speak them out, when we seek them out, it reminds us our God is strong and he is for us. He's our strong fortress where we can be safe and secure. Well, the next couple of verses are about enemies. I don't suppose you've got any enemies. But to some extent, we're all at the mercy of other people. And sometimes people take it upon themselves to be unpleasant or even out to get us. Looking on to verse 12, it says, "False witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence." Do you remember the trial of Jesus when he was criticized and maligned for things he hadn't done, accused and eventually killed, although he was innocent? So when we come to pray, he understands. He understands when we feel that we've been a victim in some way, falsely accused. And being aware of his understanding, I see as part of our adoration of the Lord. And that's what I want to talk about today, the subject of adoration as part of our prayer life. And this is a good psalm to help us to adore him. Of course, David only knew the Lord, who's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have the privilege of coming into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, our Saviour. So I'll be talking about God, the Lord, and Jesus all mixed up together. I hope that makes sense. So I think it's a good idea to begin our prayer times by focusing on Jesus in adoration, to be aware of the reality of Jesus, of his understanding and his care for us. There are circumstances that make us anxious and afraid, but as we focus on Jesus and see him as the Lord enthroned in glory, he's above all the evil influences, anything that can harm us. This is the Lord who is with us in our troubles, who has the power to lift us up. So we focus on those aspects of Jesus as they are revealed in the Bible. So we need to have our Bible beside us as we pray. Now, this is called a Psalm of David, and it describes David's relationship with God. He had a close relationship, one of trust and faith. And that is the kind of relationship that God wants with us. In fact, I believe the theme of the whole Bible is God reaching out to us to draw us close to him. And he went to the ends of the earth to do it in sending Jesus. But human beings are strangely hesitant, resistant to intimacy with God. And if you think about it, what's the point of having a half-hearted relationship with God or a distant relationship? That's often how it is, because there's a battle for our souls and there are influences that attempt to spoil our relationship with God and spoil our lives. And in my experience, pulling away from those influences can be very difficult. And using this psalm has helped me. As I've read it, as I've focused on the positive statements of faith, it's helped me, reminded me to pull away from the bad influences on my life. Especially verse 4, a great favorite verse of mine. "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." It's single-minded. One thing I ask. It's making a decision to be focused on the presence of God to the exclusion of anything that's harmful. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek. Just that one thing, that I may dwell in his house all my life. To be with him. To be right there with him in spirit. To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. Now, whether the psalm is writing about actually wanting to dwell in the temple forever, or whether it's symbolic about being in God's presence, who knows? But I'm sure that David wanted to be in God's presence and to worship him. For us, I think this desire for intimacy with God is for now, in a limited sense, but then more fully when we see him face to face in glory. And that will be wonderful. What it will be like, we can only imagine. Though we can't literally dwell in the temple and gaze on God, but we have the Holy Spirit, the holy presence of God living in us. That makes us his temples, temples of the Holy Spirit, our bodies, our minds, the place where God dwells by his Spirit. His presence is with us. And what the Spirit does, he makes Jesus real to us. And he helps us to respond to Jesus in prayer and worship. Have you heard the acronym that helps with prayer? It's spelt ACTS, the word acts. It's an old one. A for adoration, C for confession, T for thanksgiving, S for supplication. That's asking for God to meet our needs. Adoration is largely the worship in this psalm. It can be wordless, described as gazing, focusing on God. And I believe it takes us away from the focus on ourselves. Other aspects of the prayer are equally important, of course, the confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. But I think they can take place without necessarily focusing on God's presence. They're all vital parts of prayer, and to some extent we use words for them, but not necessarily for adoration. It's not a matter of finding the right words. It's from the heart. No words are needed. As here in the psalm, David describes it as gazing on the beauty of the Lord. And to understand what that might mean, I'm hoping that on the screen we'll have some examples of gazing. Let's see what's going on. Can you see past me? No? Yeah? The dog is gazing at the cake. It's a Labrador, of course. Hang on a minute, we'll go back to the dog. Because we like looking at Labradors. He's not taking his eyes off that cake. He's totally focused. Does it look like anyone's dog here? A little bit? Yes, Morgan. It's focus, that is. The next picture is a mother gazing at her newborn baby. Isn't it wonderful? Such a sense of wonder at the birth of a child. The mother's gazing in love. But sadly, we know this isn't always the case, that throughout the world there are many babies who are abandoned and abused. And the psalm acknowledges that in verse 10. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. There's security and love in God. And in the next picture, we've got adoring football fans, I think it's football, who are supporting the team from Myanmar. They're really focused. See their eyes, just not taking their eyes off the game. They're what Luke would call in the moment. They're willing their team to win. That's true focus. Now the next picture is, well camouflaged, it's an owl. And there are several ways of looking at this picture. The owl is being observed by the photographer, who's really focused, and got his camera focused. And a bird watcher would be very excited to see an owl. Bird watchers spend hours looking for birds. If you've ever been and been in a hide where these people are all excitedly peering through their binoculars because somebody heard that there was a kingfisher or a water rail or something a bit unusual. And they will spend hours patiently focused through their binoculars. The Bible often talks about waiting for God. Verse 14, it says, wait for the Lord. It has that idea of spending time, being patient, being alert, waiting for his presence. The next one is a cat, which I put in just for cat lovers. And the next one, young lovers gazing into each other's eyes adoringly. They can't take their eyes off each other. And the next one, stargazing. Some people study the stars out of genuine interest in the galaxies. Experts spend their lives on it. Amateur stargazers, like us, we look with a sense of wonder at how vast the sky is, how beautiful it is at night. And the Bible encourages us to look at the stars. Psalm 8 says, when I look at the heavens, the work of your hands, what is man that you are mindful of him? And that lovely last picture there. It's humbling to look at God's handiwork. We are in awe of his creation. Well, those were all ways of looking that require a genuine desire to look intently, because what's being looked at is worth looking at. It enthralls them. That's adoration. And it's genuine. What fascinates me is you can't make it up. You do it because you want to. And it's great. Moving on to verse 5. In the day of trouble. The day of trouble can come like a bolt out of the blue. Some troubles come and they're a shock. I think bereavement is the hardest of the troubles to bear, but there are other shocks, health scares, losing your job, crisis within the family. The shocks we receive in the day of trouble can knock us sideways, and it can be hard to hold on to a vision of God at such times. And if the knocks come repeatedly, we struggle to hold on, don't we? And it becomes harder each time to get back to God, or it can be. But I think if we spend time in God's presence when we are not in crisis, then we're more likely to remember him in the time of trouble. More likely to remember that he will keep us safe in his dwelling, in his presence. Moving on to verse 8. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. David was a man who was king. He had experienced wealth, women, fame. He had everything. But his heart's desire was for God. The Bible shows us that we are made for intimacy with God. There's this inner conversation going on inside us. Have you heard it? It's saying, my heart says of you, seek his face. Am I going to do that? Yes, I will. Seek his face. It's the Holy Spirit prompting us all the time into the intimacy with God that we were made for. But we need to make the decision. And sometimes on a daily basis, will I seek his face? Yes, I will. There's a similar thought in Hebrews. It says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Don't take your eyes off Jesus. And I suggest when we come to pray, we take a few moments to fix our eyes on Jesus, the King of Glory, and see our lives from his perspective. And as we go about our daily lives, we keep that focus by whispering his name, Jesus, or by holding a Bible verse in our minds. There's a little prayer I often say to throughout the day, I pray, yours, Lord, is the greatness, the power, the splendor, and the majesty. Now, I'm not naturally contemplative. I'm not naturally drawn to waiting on God or gazing on his beauty. I'd much rather be active. But I have learnt that I need to be more contemplative. I was desperate enough some years ago to realize that I wanted more of God in my life. I couldn't cope emotionally, financially, relationally, anything. My life was a mess. A single parent, really struggling, and I needed more of God in my life. And I began, as I was walking the dog in the woods, to meditate on what was around me and asking God to show me things about himself from what I saw in nature. And that was the beginning of it. If you would like to spend some time in meditation and learning to be contemplative, then you might like to join our group, which we spend about 15 minutes focusing on something about Jesus in the Bible. And that helps us to appreciate him and to be touched by his presence. We can't see Jesus, but in adoration we focus our minds on him and we recall what the Bible teaches about him. An example would be Philippians chapter 2, which we looked at our last meditation group. It highlights important aspects of Jesus coming to earth and giving his life. And we see how God the Father honors Jesus for what he has done. I'll just pick out some of the verses. So Jesus came to earth. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. People have asked why God wants us to worship him. If he's so perfect, does he need to be worshipped? And I think that reading from Philippians 2 partly answers the question. God's desire and his plan is that Jesus should be universally honored, not because he needs it, but because it is right that he should be honored. It says God himself exalted Jesus. So surely we who benefit from all that Jesus has done for us. And that makes us want to see Jesus honored by all the world. And one day that will happen. We sang about it in that wonderful hymn. One day, Jesus will be seen as king by everyone. So worship is God's gift to us, I believe. It says verse 5 we read, he will keep me safe in his dwelling and set me high upon a rock. That's adoration. His dwelling is his presence. And in this intimate relationship with God, we find the strength we need for our lives. He will keep me safe in his dwelling and set me high upon a rock. His presence isn't just a feeling to be enjoyed. His presence brings us his power, the transforming power of God. So the more we focus on him, the more we see him and know him, the more his power and presence transform our lives. And finally, the last verse. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Remember God's promises. Remember all that he's said in his Psalms. Remember his presence. And let that give us courage as we trust in him, that we can go forward with confidence in God as we spend time worshiping him. Amen.